Nobody in Kansas City has sports like 96.5 The Fan.
Right side throw, touchdown! Kansas City! A 3-yard touchdown pass in overtime! Kansas City wins the game!
Welcome into The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
Back-to-back best sports talk host as voted on in the Pitch magazine.
Live from the Fan Studios, here's CDOT.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Excited, thrilled, delighted to be here with you on this wonderful, wonderful Tuesday. Out of the 10 inmates that escaped from Orleans Prison, they have caught 4 of them. We will update you on this story. This is the story that I am most intrigued about right now in the world. So we will have daily updates on this show until all of them are apprehended. We got a long summer to go here. Congratulations to the Royals. They won yesterday. Chris Bubich continues to be one of the biggest surprises in all of Major League Baseball. We'll see if the Royals can continue their winning ways. Coming up later today, Josh Vernier is going to be on the show coming up in exactly 1 hour on today's show. We're also going to be joined by Mark Sharp. Mark Sharp is in the Missouri House of Representatives. The House of Representatives voted yes on this bill. The Senate voted no on the bill that would help fund a new stadium for the Royals and renovations for the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll talk to Mark Sharp about that coming up in 2 hours. Very happy to have him join us on the show today. We got a lot to get into in today's show, but I need you guys to do me a couple of favors. Number one, I need you listening to the show each day at 2 o'clock right here on 96.5 The Fan. And number two, I need you to tell one friend. I mean, it'd be great if you could tell 2 friends to check out the show, but you know what? I'm not going to be greedy. If you guys could just tell one person to check out the show, you know what? I would appreciate that very much. Let's get into one of the top stories today in the National Football League. We've kind of reached that pocket of slow period where there's not a lot of news coming out of the National Football League. It is either contract news or criminal news. That is just about it right now when it comes to the National Football League. This is a story about a contract. Joe Tooney has signed an extension with the Chicago Bears, an extension that would pay him $17.5 million. So to give you the full scope of his contract, it is now 3 years, $51 million, with $33.5 million fully guaranteed at signing. Now, we have not gotten the full scope of the deal, so we don't know all the details. I'm guessing, like most of these contracts, it's going to have a low cap number for this upcoming season, and you're going to push the money to the third year of the deal. But you feel really good about Joe Tooney for this season. You obviously feel very good about it for next season. And then you'll see from there, and it will likely have an out if the Bears want an out 2 years down the line to get out of that contract and move on. Honestly, this is what I thought the Chiefs were going to do. The Chiefs were clearly at a crossroad. Your contract is expired heading into that last year. And if you're a player like Joe Tooney, who is going to command a raise, heading into that final year of the deal, that is when your organization is likely going to make a decision. Is this a guy that we want to extend? Is this a guy that we want to pay? Or do we want to move in a different direction? And do we want to trade this player? Now, we obviously have the answer from the Kansas City Chiefs. They made the decision to move in another direction. But if we could go back, and I'm not going to play the hindsight is 2020 game, I thought that the Chiefs were going to reach this extension with Joe Tooney. I believe he was their best offensive lineman. We're talking about a guy who has Hall of Fame credentials, a guy who has shown you the ability to play multiple positions. And if something goes wrong at left tackle, you certainly don't feel worried about moving him over to play that position and you figuring it out from there. So that's what I thought the Chiefs were going to do. I thought they were going to reach this extension that the Bears did and try to get his cap number a little bit more manageable. As we are heading into the offseason for the Kansas City Chiefs, there are still 2 major questions that have to be answered. Number one is, are they going to end up paying Trey Smith this offseason? Because it is obvious what the Chiefs decided, and I don't fault them for making this decision. You had to make a decision about your left guard from a financial standpoint, and your right guard from a financial standpoint. Now, I believe their left guard was better than their right guard, but their right guard is coming off their rookie contract, and their right guard is 25 years old. Their left guard is 33 years old, and is probably entering the last major contract of his career. So I don't fault the Chiefs for making the decision on taking the younger, healthy player in Trey Smith and investing more into him. I think that's probably the right decision to end up making. But we just saw that the Bears were able to reach a contract, albeit an easier deal to make with Joe Tooney, and the Chiefs are still trying to figure it out with Trey Smith and what that financially is going to look like for them. He is in line to get a pretty decent amount of money. He is the only player in the NFL who has been franchise tagged. So Trey Smith is in line to get what the kids would say, the bag. You have committed to giving Trey Smith a pretty decent amount of money for this year. So think about it like this. Joe Tooney right now is in line to get $33.5 million guaranteed over the next 3 years. Trey Smith is guaranteed to get $23.4 million for just this upcoming season. And if your organization has committed to giving you this much money, you are not anticipating making less than that heading into this year. So either you make the 23.4 or they guarantee you $55 million when you sign whatever long-term extension that they come to. But right now, it's not as much about the long-term extension from the fully guaranteed point. It is about getting that cap number down for this upcoming season to give you the flexibility to do some other things. You do not want your right guard on a franchise tag heading into the season at $23 million. There's no maneuvering that. There's no moving that money around. There's no restructuring if we're talking about the franchise tag. No. The price is the price, and you owe him $23.4 million, and you can divide that up into game checks. I think the Chiefs want to avoid that. If you're Trey Smith, you obviously want to sign a long-term deal and guarantee yourself more than the $23.4 million. So question number one for the Chiefs this offseason is, you have the only player in the league that is currently under the franchise tag. Are you guys prepared to pay that player? Are you guys prepared to reach a long-term extension with that player? That's question number one. Question number two, and we have no way of being able to answer this until probably October. The Chiefs clearly made a decision. Last season, they had nothing but uncertainty on the left side of their offensive line. And at the end of the year, they found a little bit more stability. Now, that obviously wasn't enough. We all watched the Super Bowl, but the Chiefs are making the decision that they believe Joe Tooney at left tackle and having Caliendo at left guard, they think that they have made an upgrade. Now with going out to get Jalen Moore, you made the draft pick with Kingsley Suamataia. You move him to where he is probably best suited at playing left guard for you. And you have paid real resources over there on the left side. Maybe Josh Simmons ends up starting. I don't know if he's going to be healthy at the start of the season to be in this conversation. And you also gave Jalen Moore $21 million for this upcoming season guaranteed. So something tells me you want everything to work out where he is at least going to play this season. And you didn't give him $21 million to be your break in case of emergency player. But the Chiefs made a clear decision. You had two options. You could have kept Joe Tooney. You could have signed Jalen Moore, and maybe you let Trey Smith walk in free agency and you put Kingsley Suamataia over there at right guard and you move forward. That's not the decision that the Chiefs wanted to go with. They made the decision to go with Jalen Moore, Kingsley Suamataia, and pay the younger Trey Smith. We'll see if that works. For all the optimism that you can possibly have about the Chiefs' offensive line, I don't know if there is a reason to be overly positive. I also don't know if there's a reason to be overly negative. I think we are truly in a wait-and-see moment with their offensive line. We don't know. Jalen Moore hasn't played enough. There isn't enough of a sample size and a body of work to tell you how that experience is going to go. It's one thing to play in 4 or 5 games. It's another thing to play in 17 games and maybe 20 games when we're talking about the Chiefs, a team that routinely goes deep into the postseason. I don't know how Jalen Moore is going to respond to playing 20 games this upcoming NFL season, week in, week out. Can he stay healthy? The physical grind, the toll of now being the starting left tackle for a team with the expectations of the Kansas City Chiefs. He is certainly going to be tested this season. Look at their schedule. Look at the teams that they go up against. Look at the pass rushers that they go up against this season. We will have our answer soon enough if Jalen Moore is ready to be an every down starter in the National Football League. But I wanted to start today's show talking about at least what I thought was going to be the plan this offseason. If we could rewind and go back to the beginning of the offseason, I thought the plan was going to be to extend Joe Tooney, similar to what we saw the Bears do, let Trey Smith walk in free agency, use that money on left tackle the way they did with Jalen Moore, and maybe put a little bit more resources on other places on the roster. Maybe go spend a little bit more money on running back, maybe spend a little bit more money on wide receivers, spend a little bit more money on pass rush. That is obviously not the decision that the Chiefs decided to do with. And obviously, we will see as the year progresses, as the offseason progresses, and as the year progresses, if the Chiefs ended up making the right decision. But the Bears, they are all in on offensive line improvements. They went out and they got Jonah Jackson. They also got Joe Tooney. The Bears are one of the more improved offensive lines in the National Football League. Coming up on the other side, J.J. Piccolo was on the midday show earlier today. We'll play for you what he had to say about top prospect Jack Caglione. That's coming up. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
All right, welcome back into the show. Yesterday, we had on Sean Mernon. He is the play-by-play voice for the Northwest Arkansas Naturals. And we saw Jack Caglione get the call up. Down in AA, he hit .322. He had an on-base percentage of .394. He had 152 ABs, hit 9 home runs. He leads the Cactus League in RBIs at 43. He had a very, very good stint down in AA at Northwest Arkansas. Well, now he is moving on up to the AAA squad. He will be in Omaha. Earlier today, J.J. Piccolo was on the midday show, and here's what he had to say about Jack Caglione.
Yeah, well, be honest, like nothing changed. He just continued to dominate AA baseball. You know, it was really good to see. He's, you know, we all know he hits the ball extremely hard, and that's his, you know, superpower. But we started to see some improvement in some of the decisions he was making on what pitches to hit and what pitches to lay off. And quite honestly, the level just wasn't good enough for him the way he was playing over an extended period of time. So we thought it was time for him to take the next step. You know, with AAA, the pitching's better. Pitchers can game plan, but more importantly, follow a game plan better than AA pitchers because they're older, smarter, more experienced, and that's the right next step in his journey to the big leagues.
When you guys drafted him last summer, I mean, if I would have told you then, like, the ideal – quote unquote timeline, even just to get to AAA. Like, is this kind of best case scenario for him to get up to AAA this quickly?
Absolutely. I mean, it's, you know, over however many years I've done this, I don't know how many players that we've had in their first full season that go to AA and just really dominate the league and now are in AAA. Obviously, Brandon Finnegan back in 2014 was a different situation. He was a pitcher and we brought him right to the big leagues pretty much after a stop in AA. But you know, this is the first that I can recall, and just happy that he's doing what he's doing. I mean, a lot of credit goes to our scouting department in identifying Jack with the 6th pick last year and have a lot of confidence in moving forward and selecting him. And Jack has exceeded expectations. You know, we knew he's good, but until he gets out there and plays, you don't know how good he really is or how long it's going to take for him to get to AAA. But certainly he's on a fast track, clearly.
I know even in the front office, as you're getting a little bit of the comparison game, like our morning show host mentioned Adam Dunn. What, for you guys, who do you kind of envision Jack Caglione, who does he remind you of in the big league levels? Is there anybody that he kind of comps to?
Yeah, I mean, Adam Dunn I can see because of the power, but Jack is going to be a more complete hitter than Adam. Adam struck out a lot. I mean, very good major league player. I think he's going to be able to control the zone better than that. You know, honestly, like what we hope he develops into, and I'm not saying this is who he is, this what we would like to see is some version of a Pete Alonso. I mean, that's, you know, a left-handed version of Pete Alonso. Pete makes a lot of good plate decision or pitch decisions. He's got massive power. You know, he's turned himself into a pretty good defender at first base. I mean, and coincidentally, those two went to the same high school, you know, so it's kind of weird. You know, that would be excellent for us, you know, and really, you know, the thing we don't want Jack to do is to try to be anybody but himself. I know that the comp game, we do it in the scouting world all the time, and it's just part of it. But Jack needs to be himself, you know, whatever version that of Jack that it allows him to be the best major league player he can be. That's what we'd be happy with that.
I'm telling you right now, if they believe that Jack Caglione can be Pete Alonso, that is a win for all parties. Pete Alonso is a four-time All-Star and won National League Rookie of the Year. And, oh, yeah, he's won the Home Run Derby a couple of times. Like, if you're telling me that that's what they think he can turn out to be, yes. Like, if you were looking at his 162-game average, I have it pulled up right now on Pro Baseball Reference. Over the course of a year, Pete Alonso hits .252 with a .343 on base percentage. He averages 43 home runs and 113 RBIs for a season. If they think that's who he could be, yes. If that's who they think he is going to be or could project to be, he will not be down in Omaha for too much longer. Now, Pete Alonso got up at 24 years old. I believe that we'll see Jack Caglione before he's 24 years old. But he hit the ground running. Pete Alonso hit 53 home runs in his rookie season with 120 RBIs. He hit 53 home runs as a rookie at 24 years old. If that's who they are projecting Jack Caglione to be, and I understand it's a player comparison, you're going to use best case scenario, I'll take 80% of what Pete Alonso has turned out to be. That is by far and away, Rob, the best case scenario if you are trying to project what a prospect could turn into.
I mean, I think we all kind of knew this, but now J.J. Piccolo is putting an actual comparison to it. It sounds like they think that Jack Caglione has prodigious power. Like, Pete Alonso, it just mashes the baseball. You mentioned that 53 home run season. He averages 40 a year. Like, if the Royals believe that they are getting a 40 home run guy in Jack Caglione, wow. I mean, I still think that's a lesser baseball player than Bobby Witt, but you're telling me in Kansas City, you might have left-handed Pete Alonso, and we know Bobby Witt Jr. is locked in for the foreseeable future. We oftentimes on this show talk about pillars. Like, what are the pillars of the team? What are the pillars we talk about in the back? The pillars of the show. If the Royals believe they have Pete Alonso as left-handed Jack Caglione and you have Bobby Witt, you have pillars of the offense for a long time. And I haven't even mentioned the fact that Mikel Garcia is 26 and hitting well. Vinny Pasquantino's a player that has shown a major league ability. Like, that is wow. I mean, again, you're right. No one's going to be like, yeah, we think he's going to be just okay. But
that's also not factoring in the possibility that you just add an impact bat and that comes from elsewhere. Like, we're just talking about in-organization upgrades. If you were telling me that you have right now the second best player in the American League, you also think you have Pete Alonso in your farm system, if you spend a little bit of money in free agency, your 2, 3, 4, and 5 hitter, if we are including Vinny Pasquantino in this, you are as good as any team this side of the New York Yankees if we are talking about the heart of your lineup. Let's not forget Mikel Garcia, who you just mentioned. If that's who you think he can turn out to be, it is no wonder why the excitement level is so high, not just in the organization, but with you guys, the fans. You guys are really excited about Jack Caglione, and they're certainly not trying to put any water on the fire if that's who you think he could potentially be. Let me play this for you since we're having conversations about the offense. J.J. Piccolo talked about possibly adding to this Royals offense.
Well, internal, they're going on all the time. I mean, that is a constant. I don't think we go more than 6 hours mm-hmm. without somebody making a suggestion, throwing something in the Slack channel, an idea or two, waiver claims, et cetera. But you know, when they become real discussions, I still think we're a little ways away. There's only a couple teams that are right now probably willing to talk about any of their players. If you're 5-6 games under 500, you know, even at this point, maybe 10 games. I mean, the Tigers, I think, inspired a lot of teams last year with what they did from August 1st on. I mean, they were kind of, you know, left, like they're gone, they're out of it, and next thing you know, they're in the playoffs. So I think, you know, teams want to hold their players longer in case you go on a run like the Twins just went on. So I think we're a little ways away from really having discussions that pick up, but I can promise you the internal discussions are never ending.
I am just going to guess. I can't say this definitively. This is just simply a guess of mine. The only reason that these conversations have not intensified is because no one is selling right now. You can have all the conversations you want about potentially adding. It takes two teams to make a trade. It takes two teams to make a deal. No one's making trades before Memorial Day. Everybody is still in it for the most part. How many teams are out of it right now in baseball? Four? Maybe five? The White Sox, the Rockies, the Pirates. I mean, we're not talking about a handful of teams that have no hope. So, yeah, teams are going to see. Maybe you get hot in June. I mean, the trade deadline is not until July 31st. So we got a long way to go in this conversation about the Royals potentially adding. So, yes, they should be having these conversations. You know what they should be doing? They should be having the same conversations that colleges have when they have an old head coach. When your head coach is 71 years old, maybe he's not planning on resigning now. You know that he's going to resign soon. You should probably have a list ready. You know, you never know what could happen. You never know. If you're the Chiefs, you know what you should have right now? You should have a list ready. You never know what could happen with Andy Reid. You never know. So you should just have something in your back pocket. Hey, if Andy just wakes up one day and decides, you know what, I don't think I can do this anymore. My health takes a turn. I want to be a grandpa. I want to spend more time with my family. We're prepared. That's how the Royals should be. We're prepared for the trade deadline. We know that right now, but we got a list of 10 guys that we think are realistic that we want to go out there and trade for. And when business is open in Major League Baseball, because it is not open right now, but when business is open, we are going to start the process of making those trades. That's how they should handle it. It should not be a conversation of if the Royals are going to make a move for their offense. It should be a conversation of when and how much are they willing to part with to go get what they need to upgrade the offense.
I agree with you on the whole. The fact that, I mean, even the Orioles, you could make an argument, have so much talent, they're not dead. There are not a lot of dead teams in Major League Baseball. But I think I have a slight frustration with the Royals right now because while their farm system is not gangbusters, while their AAA team isn't full of boppers, I feel like there are guys at AAA level who, with the meddling offense at the Major League level, have earned a call-up. Like, he talks about, hey, we have these conversations internal all the time. What do those conversations look like? You're telling me you can't DFA Hunter Renfroe and bring up Nick Lofton? You're telling me that's just an impossible thought. You're telling me John Rave, who's a guy who, at the AAA levels, hitting pretty good right now. You're telling me you don't think, oh, he could come up and be better than Hunter Renfroe today? Michael Massey. We all love Michael Massey. He's a really good dude. He's hitting 170-something. You're telling me Cam Devaney can't come up and do that 170-something? And Michael Massey has options. He has an ability to go down like MJ Melendez did. Like, I agree with you on the outside part. Hey, I don't think that the, you know, Rangers are selling right now. I don't think, you know, a team is in total free fall on May 20th. But there are some internal options that he talked about. That Slack channel always pops up. Maybe keep an eye on the internal options a little better, JJ, because Hunter Renfroe's a nothing for you right now. I love Michael Massey, but he's doing really nothing for you right now. Jonathan India looked like a good move on paper. He's not really doing much of anything for you right now. Drew Waters has reverted back to a fine major league player, but you tell me you can't upgrade that somewhere in the system? Like, the Omaha Royals have to have some people that could feasibly come up and do better, because the up players are bad right now.
I want to play some audio for you guys because you know that on this show, we hate all forms of hateration and holleration on this show. That's not something that we can condone. Whenever Rob goes on his anti-running back stance, I normally jump in because that's not the kind of energy that I want to give out on this show. We embrace everybody, running backs, punters, college players. We endorse and support everybody on this show. I'm a lot of things. I don't consider myself to be a hater. A hater to me is somebody who is incapable of giving credit when credit is due. I don't hate KU. They're an incredible basketball program. They have one of the greatest home court, home field advantages in all of sports. KU is an incredible program. I don't hate on their team. I hate on their fans, but I don't hate on their team. They're amazing. There will be no hateration or no holleration on this show. Obviously, that's not how they get down in St. Louis on the STL hub. I never heard of this before. I've heard of other hubs. I never heard of the STL hub before. That's not a website that I frequent. Well, you know what? On their sports talk show, let me tell you, my friends, they had a lot of hateration going on their morning program. It's disgusting.
Brooke, you know what? One thing I hate?
What?
I hate the fact that the Kansas City Chiefs are just shoved down St. Louis's throat because they want this market so badly. Randy. And so they make it so that all of their games are on TV in St. Louis. It's terrible. Randy. I hate it. Yes.
That's
I hate
people
it.
People do.
So, I mean, I get the schedule yesterday. So late last night, you know, they've got eight games, the Chiefs, Kansas City Chiefs. They have eight standalone games, seven in primetime, one on Thanksgiving, that apparently are being directed only to St. Louis. Eight of them.
Apparently.
Plus four more. They're playing the Broncos, the Ravens, the Bills, and the Eagles. They're all playing them at 3:25 in the afternoon. And it's only apparently going to like 5% of the country because they're trying to shove the Chiefs down our throat.
Apparently, well, yeah, you didn't know that.
12 of their 16 games that
they're
are scheduled
trying
to this
force
point.
You to be a Chiefs fan, whether you want to or not. Yeah. You have to be a Chiefs fan if you live here in St. Louis. It's Missouri's team, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's why I'm really mad that I don't know why they do this to us. It would be different if the Chiefs were any good and they got any national TV games. But apparently we're only getting like Sunday night football, Monday night football, Thursday night football, Thanksgiving football. We only get those here in St. Louis. The rest of the country is not having the Chiefs shoved down their throat.
You hear this kind of hateration? I mean, you guys had a time where you wouldn't have had another NFL team shoved down your throat, but you fumbled two of them in our lifetime. You know how hard it is to fumble two NFL teams? That's like you used to date Halle Berry and Jennifer Aniston, and you fumbled both of them. I'm looking at you a little questionable that this has happened. I can't think of another city that has been in this situation the way that you guys have. And it's not just that the Chiefs are being forced down your throat. It's not like these games are only being televised in St. Louis. Oh, no, they're being televised everywhere. You guys don't have some exclusive on Monday Night Football and Sunday Night Football. No, everybody gets that. You're going to get the 3:25 CBS game with Tony Romo. You think they gave Tom Brady $500 million to call the games for them not to be on in St. Louis? No, you're getting those games too. And it's not forcing your team or any team down your throat when the best team plays in the biggest games and you get access to it. No one can say, oh man, I can't believe they forced Ohio State down our throat. They won the national championship. You don't want access to the best teams, the best players, and the biggest games? What games do you want? You want the MAC? You want to watch Akron against Bowling Green? Or do you want to watch Ohio State, Michigan? Or do you want to watch Chiefs up against Ravens? Oh, no. You want Cardinals, Rams. That's what you want? You don't get that anymore. You lost the opportunity at 3:25 to watch Cardinals, Rams. You're going to sit down and watch the Chiefs, and you're going to like it, and you're going to enjoy it. And you know what you're going to do? You're going to support the other side of the state. It's not our fault that you lost your NFL team. That's a you problem. Hateration, Rob. I can't stand it. That's what I heard. A lot of hateration. I'm sorry that you don't need Sunday ticket to watch the Chiefs anymore. You don't need to sign up for Sunday ticket if you want to watch the Chiefs. You can live in St. Louis. You can live in St. Paul, Minnesota. You can live in Portland, Maine. You can just turn on your regular standard NFL package. You'll get almost all the Chiefs games, all the ones that matter. The only ones you're not going to get are the games against the Titans. You know what? That's a week off you can have from the Chiefs. You don't got to watch that week. We'll give you that week off. It's Chiefs-Titans. You know what? But if it gets important enough, trust me, they'll put it on where you can watch it. It won't stay at noon for long. Not if the Titans are good. We know the Chiefs will be good. They'll do their part. Anytime the Chiefs have been flexed out of something, it was not because of them. It was because Russell Wilson was terrible. That's why the Chiefs get flexed. So if you're tired of the Chiefs being forced down your throat, I would just make a couple of suggestions. I would say, A, either tell your favorite team to beat the Chiefs so the Chiefs just play in less important games, and this is very important too. Very important. I just wouldn't watch the NFL then. There's nothing you can do about it.
I will say this, and I don't want to come off like I'm defending the St. Louis Hub because I disagree with them. First off, I think he said it backwards because he was like, he mentioned how St. Louis is getting jammed up with the national TV games. Everyone's getting jammed up with the national TV games. Whether you live in St. Louis or, you know, Seattle, you're getting Chiefs on Thanksgiving. So that's a bad example. But I will defend St. Louis and iota here. I think it's a little fair to be upset with the Chiefs. Clark Hunt voted in favor of them taking your team away, and then Clark Hunt turned around and turned St. Louis into Chiefs territory. So I can understand how the fans might feel a little bit of a way that, hey, one of the guys who voted to eliminate our team is now being very, very aggressive and taking this territory over to garner a larger footprint for his team. I understand why you could feel an iota of a way. I disagree with it to the extent this guy's angry with it being jammed down their throat, but I would understand a little bit if you felt a little bit of a way. Hey, Clark Hunt voted to move my team away and then just basically settled the open territory for himself. It seems like he voted for self-interest. That I would understand that by a St. Louisan a little bit.
Well, I don't know what to tell you then. I don't know what to tell you. If I was you and you're tired of watching the Chiefs, I would advise you to get Sunday ticket and you can enjoy Raiders Cardinals at 325 opposite Chiefs and Ravens. If you don't want to watch Chiefs and Eagles and you want to watch Seahawks Giants at 325, be our guest. That's fine. That's your prerogative. You better pull up Crack Streams. You better pull up Stream East. You can go watch those games that nobody is watching. Or you can watch the games that's going to get 25 million viewers and everybody at the office is going to be talking about. You can watch those games or you can watch Giants Raiders 325 with Ian Eagle and Charles Davis. You can watch those games if that's what you want. Nobody's stopping you. I don't know what to tell you. Sounds like a personal problem to me. You know what I would do at 325 on Sunday? I'd start making other plans then and not watching football because the Chiefs are going to be on at 325 pretty frequently. You got two choices at 325. Either watch the Cowboys or the Chiefs every week, every Sunday in the fall. Those are the only two teams we're giving you at 325 on Fox. That's it. You get nothing else. So good luck, St. Louis. St. Louis, they just seem like a real unhappy bunch right now. They're unhappy with the NFL. They don't like their baseball team. They're just a real unhappy bunch right now. Nelly, what's going on? Can you come back and make an anthem for them? Because it's a lot going on over there on that side of the state line. I want them to be a happier bunch. I want them to be a happier group of individuals. Coming up at the top of the hour, we're going to be joined by our guy, Josh Vernier, our Royals insider. We'll get his thoughts on this past weekend out at Kauffman Stadium. Also looking ahead to this series that they are currently in with the San Francisco Giants. Coming up on the other side, we will continue to update you on the biggest news story in the country. I'll tell you what it is. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. On your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Welcome back into the show. My name is Carrington Harrison. Coming up at the top of the hour, we are going to be joined by Josh Vernier, our Royals insider. There's certainly a lot of things to talk to him about. I actually saw a pretty funny tweet earlier today. Rob, did you know that Zootopia 2 has better odds in Vegas to win Best Picture than the Cowboys do to win the Super Bowl? So if you would like to lay a small wager on Zootopia 2 to win Best Picture, you can do that right now at plus 6,500 if you're looking at getting rich with Zootopia 2 winning, winning Best Picture.
I mean, I feel like Zootopia 2 is not a great bet, but I know for a
fact. I'm about to die over here.
I know the Cowboys are a bad bet, but Zootopia 2 for Academy Award seems also unlikely, but FanDuel has a lot of my money for a lot of bad bets already.
It was such an unreasonable proposition. God decided to like take my breath away. Like, you need to stop talking about that immediately. Let's move on. The story that I have been very, very intrigued about has been this New Orleans escape. And you know what? I am going to give you guys my word about something, that we are going to continue to cover this thing as well as anybody. So we have a couple of updates. Rob, there were 10 people that escaped from this New Orleans prison. We talked about this yesterday. Again, every day we are going to give you guys an update. We need to get a sounder or something whenever we do this. So there were 10 inmates that escaped. They have caught four of them. We'll get to the details on how the fourth person was captured, but they have made an arrest. There was a maintenance worker, because if you're going to escape out of prison, somebody on the inside has to be a co-conspirator. So a jail employee turned the water off in the toilet, and that's how they were able to escape through the pipes and through the system. But he says that he was under duress. He says that the inmates threatened his life and said they were going to shank him if he didn't do it, so he had to do it to protect his life. Now, I don't know if he's telling the truth or lying or not. We'll find out. But right now, Sterling Williams, he has been arrested and he is accused of helping these New Orleans inmates. Trust me, if they find out that you cooperated in any way with this escape and what you were saying is not true, you don't have to worry. You're going to be in jail with them. Right now, you just work there. You could come and go. You still had some freedom. If you want permanent residency in this prison, let them find out that you aided in this escape. Trust me, you will not have the freedom to come and go the way that you did before. You will have a permanent residence at this New Orleans prison. Rob, you know what I did yesterday? Because I'm really, really fascinated with this story. I really am. I'm genuinely fascinated with this story. I did a quick Google because I wanted to know where they were in relation to where they eventually got caught. So a couple of the people got caught down at the French Quarter. It is a 10-minute walk. 10 minutes. Now, I've been down to this part of the country. I don't know why I never noticed this, but maybe I wasn't going over there that far. I don't want to go over there. It's 10 minutes. Rob, you're telling me if you gave me a 7-hour head start, they escaped at 1. They didn't know that these inmates had escaped until 8:30. You had a 7-hour. You got 10 minutes away? They also caught this other person. They have now caught four of the 10 individuals. One of the people that they caught him in East New Orleans. I looked it up. The East New Orleans Library. I imagine there's not a bunch of them in East New Orleans. I looked it up because I was curious, because they found him in an abandoned house. It was 12 minutes away. These people did not want to be free. I told you guys yesterday, if this was me, I would look like Sammy Sosa and I'd be living in the mountains of Utah right now. If you're telling me I had a 7-hour head start, I don't know how I would have done it. But if you'd have caught me, you'd have caught me on somebody's Greyhound. You would have caught me on somebody's Amtrak. You're not going to catch me 10 minutes away. Rob, this would be like right now if you escaped. If you escaped from Odyssey and you're like, well, where am I going to go? And then they caught you at the other place. That's where they caught you, with 7-hour head start? No, not at all. You didn't want to be free bad enough, because I'd want to be free. I was reading yesterday that one of the individuals, he was scheduled to get out in 6 weeks. Just stay out of trouble, and then you'll be free. Now, instead of 6 weeks, they're going to now add 600 weeks onto your sentence. This is silly. They're all going back to jail. Right now, they're 4 for 10 from the field. Trust me, by next week, we're not going to have too many more updates on this. We're going to have another week or 10 days of updates. They're about to catch these other 6 individuals because I'm not really sure how many of them had a plan of escape and a plan of freedom.
I mean, being caught that close. I mean, I understand that Shawshank Redemption is a movie, but you know what they did? They went to, what's that town in Mexico they went to in Shawshank Redemption? Where Morgan Freeman and Tim Robbins was hanging out then. It wasn't like, hey, we're going to escape Shawshank and we're going to go next door. Hey, we're going to escape the prison through however many miles of filth to just hang out outside the prison. I mean, I know New Orleans is an incredible time. Anyone who's at the Super Bowl knows it's an incredible time.
It's a great time.
You know it's an incredible time. If I was trying to escape prison, I would think to myself, there are probably other places to have an incredible time while I'm on the run. Next door to the jail is one I'll have to skip. Just have a little, but you know what? They're probably in prison or jail initially because they don't have a lot of foresight. So I'm guessing that played a role in why they got caught so close.
Someone on the text line said, CDOT, you got to remember a lot of these dudes have no money or resources, phone, etc. One of them was on Instagram Live. You only get on Instagram Live if you have a phone or a resource. That's it. And if you were going to escape with no money and no resources, you know what I would advise you to do? I would advise you to stay there. That would just be my advice to you. I don't know what you're dealing with in there, but I would say if your plan is walking out of the prison with no money, no resources, and no plan of how to stay free, I would just say, hey, you got to hold your head down. That's what I would tell you to do. That would be my advice, is what it would be. Now I'm reading it. They actually have an updated mugshot for the 4 individuals that they have now captured. And now they have them in a maximum security prison in Louisiana. So I hope you enjoyed your little time out there. One of them they found in the French Quarter hiding underneath a car. I'm not joking. I'm serious. They found him in the French Quarter 10 minutes away underneath a car. One of them they found, he had on designer clothes. You got out of jail to go get fresh. You were not thinking about being free. Every day we're going to update you on this story until these criminals are brought to justice. The cops right now are 4 for 10 from the field. Trust me, all of these individuals will be apprehended and will be prosecuted to the full extent of the law. I promise you that's going to happen. They found one of them in an abandoned house. We're picking them off one by one. We will find these criminals and bring them to justice. That's what we will do. Coming up at the top of the hour, we're going to be joined by Josh Vernier, our Royals insider. The Royals won yesterday. Chris Bubich put up another dazzling pitching performance. I think there's a chance that Chris Bubich might make the All-Star team. The way that he has gotten off to his start, I mean, they're going to get multiple starters from this station onto the All-Star team. What if Chris Bubich makes the All-Star team? That is a realistic possibility. We got Vern coming up next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.